Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I'm
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, good morning. It's time for another installment of It's My House. Now, today's live stream, for those who are interested, it's titled Habakkuk. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Habakkuk, this is out of the Bible, but this isn't a Bible study or nothing like that. But I picked it because it's the simplicity of it and to help us build momentum going into the new year. So get a pen or pencil, a sheet of paper, or some of you use your phones. Now, I use my phone, but for this one, I already got it loaded up on the phone. For this one, what we're going to do is I want you to write out your New Year's. Some people call them resolutions. Some people call them goals or whatever. I'm going to say whatever name you want, but I'm going to share with you my goal. I got one primary one for 2023. So before I give that, and it's in our scrolling marquee writing on Blog Talk Radio if you want to read it, in our description box, which is online right now, which you can read. But I'm going to play an audio of Steve Harvey. You know, I work morning motivational routine, Faith Street. So get out. You know, get a piece of paper, a pen, get your phone ready, your notepad, tablet, desktop, laptop, whatever, because what I want you to do along with me is, now I already have this online, and I already have this on my phone, and I'd like to say I have it right here on Blog Talk where you can read it right now. I have one basic vision / goal for 2023, but what I'm going to take an extra step, and I'm going to handwrite it out for my own self-use, and then on one sheet of paper, dated, and then I'm going to physically carry it with me everywhere I go. So I'm going to actually reduce mine down to handwriting, although I do have it. I have it online right now. I have it right here on Blog Talk right now. So I'm going to announce that, and then this gives you some time to get a piece of paper or pen or whatever you're going to write it down on. You can do it any way you want to. I'm putting it in two places. I already have it, actually three. I got it here online on Blog Talk, okay, archived. You can read it right now in today's scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio. And then I already have it in my phone. And then what I'm going to do during this podcast, because mine's short. It's about a sentence long. That's about it. But I'm physically going to write it on a sheet of paper, tear it out of the notebook, fold it up, and carry it with me everywhere I go, because I want to have it front and center. I'm just recommending this. Some people this might help. Some other people you might have another method. But anyway, let's go to Faith Street, because this is all part of it. It's all part of how I get myself motivated.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, all right. So today, the live stream, this is sort of an interactive thing. I'll be doing it, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it yourself. You don't have to share your vision, but I'm going to share mine for 2023. Now, I'm basing this off, I'm into Steve Harvey. I every day I listen to Steve Harveyisms throughout the day, even and even overnight. I just get a lot of motivation from him. So one of the, I'm going to take something that Steve Harvey does, and he's used it very successfully, and I'm doing it too. Maybe you want to join me. Habakkuk, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K, Habakkuk 2:2, which is in your Holy Bible, and I'm not preaching religion or anything like this, but I'm looking at a simple success strategy that has worked for many people over thousands of years. And Habakkuk 2:2 says, write your vision and make it plain. So that's why we had today's podcast titled Habakkuk 2:2, Write Your Vision and Make It Plain 2023. Now, I have in the description box here on Blog Talk Radio what my vision is for 2022. Now, some people might call this a resolution. Some people might call it a goal, whatever you want to call it. And I say it's a goal slash vision or vision slash goal. That's how I describe it. But I just got one. Just one. Now, mine is, and I've got this written in the description block on the scrolling marquee that anybody can see, because we record all our shows, so somebody can hold me to it. My vision is this one. It's to build 5 tiny houses on a consistent daily basis. That's Monday through Friday. Maybe sometimes Saturday, but definitely Monday through Friday. Once again, I got one. To build 5 tiny houses on a consistent daily basis, Monday through Friday. Now, this goal, that's my single solitary goal or vision for 2023, and it's November 1st, 2022 right now. Now, included in this particular vision, I need to have 50 advertisements running on a consistent daily basis. I put up one already. Today I'll put up another one, but I put up one last night, or actually not last night, early yesterday evening, about 7 o'clock yesterday evening, I put up my first one. So I got 49 more to place. And I'm not waiting until January 1st to do this. I'm starting now. All right. I've already started, actually. All right. So now that's included in the five a day. We'll be building dog houses as well because I need living expenses. Okay. Dog houses as well, chicken coops. We'll be doing land purchases as well. This is all included in my five a day. And then a friend of mine sent me a video of a coconut hut that was built for $370. So we're going to be putting up some coconut huts too. We will be building some as well as selling some. But type in, it's on YouTube, type in $370 coconut hut, and you'll see the video. It's a lady out of Los Angeles, California. She's an Uber driver. Okay. But she made enough from Uber to buy some land in Ghana. And then in the process, she found out what a coconut hut was and built one for $370. So it's pretty interesting. She's got two videos of it. I would, very inspirational. So, but that's it for me. That's all under, that's mine. That's my vision for 2023, and I'm starting on it now. Now, what I shall do, now this is what I'm asking you to do because I'm going to do. Now, although I have this committed, this Blog Talk Radio, because like I said, we record all these and we archive them, because I want you guys to hold me to it. That's why I'm putting it out there. I done shut the back door myself. What I'm going to do, and what you can do too, is I got a notebook here and a pen. I'm going to reduce what I just told you guys, what I have on the scrolling marquee already, is I'm going to reduce this down to writing, my one single solitary vision for 2023. I'm going to reduce it down to my handwriting and then tear it out of the notebook. And then I have a pouch that I carry along with me. So I'm going to physically carry it with me everywhere I go, particularly when I leave the house. Now, you can do the same thing if you want to get some momentum going into the next year. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play just a partial audio titled from a documentary called Factory City. And it takes place in China, where you have, and it's self-explanatory, but, well, I'll let it explain itself, but because we're going to take maybe one or two ideas from this audio that you're going to hear and replicated it so we can do the five houses per day. I'm not doing that now, but I'm just saying this is my one single solitary vision for 2023. You can call it a New Year's resolution or whatever, but we already got the ball rolling now so we can have some momentum going into 2023, because Halloween was last night, and I consider once it hits Halloween, and it's November 1st now we're into the holiday season, people travel, you got holiday parties and all this, and a lot of people are going to be going broke over 3 days, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day, but those are just 3 days. So we want to have some activity going into the new year. We don't want to start on January 1st. We want to get the ball rolling now. So I'm going to play about maybe 10 minutes of this audio of Factory City, and you're going to see why. I'll explain why I played it, because we want to take some of the ideas out of what you're going to hear now in the next few minutes. Because we're going to include them in what we do. But I would suggest you take out a piece of paper or a napkin or whatever you got, your phone, your desktop, laptop, and then write down, like for me, I'm just doing one vision. Because if I write down 10 things, it's not going to happen for me. I'm good with just one or two, but I'm one. Because I got parts to my one. So we're going to take the next 5 to 10 minutes of listening to Factory City. You know, you can go get your cup of coffee, juice, go to make a bathroom run. But you'll have enough time to reduce it down to write. So that's what I'll be doing when I'm playing this. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And I'm simply going to write out what I just told you, what I have committed to writing. It's on the Blog Talk scrolling marquee already. I'm going to commit it down to writing and then open back up the mic. The open mic, we can talk about anything you guys want to talk about. But, you know, I'm looking at, if you want to do this along with me, whatever, and if you want to share it with me, or us, the audience that are listening, you can do that too. So let me do that. Put on Factory City. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
What's it like to live where you work? For most of us, that's unthinkable. But imagine living and working at one of the biggest factories in the world. A workplace the size of Monaco. For these 17,000 employees, it's reality. They come from all over China, seeking a brighter future at this factory called Yupa. Workers craft coffee makers, irons, and electric grills in staggering quantities every single day. But Yupa is more than a steady paycheck. It's home. People get married here. They send their kids to school here. But the work never stops. Yupa's managers are on a mission to produce new products for every corner of the globe that could forever change the way we think of made in China. Step behind the closed doors of modern China into a factory the size of a city. Welcome to the place that calls itself Factory of the World. By the time you finish watching this program, Yupa's 17,000 Chinese workers will produce nearly 20,000 electrical appliances. Every day they churn out 60,000 irons. Every month, Yupa makes 36,000 coffee makers. That's two new machines for every Starbucks on the planet. And every year, these laborers produce a staggering 18 million electric grills. Stacked side by side, they span the Atlantic from New York to London. Chances are you own something built right here. Factories like these don't exist in North America or Europe. But they're not uncommon in China, where labor is cheap. Yupa runs on human sweat alone. No need for robots. To ensure non-stop production, workers need a steady stream of parts. Someone has to make sure those parts get to the right place in time. This is Ming Long Pa. He started work at Yupa in 1994.
I'm in charge of production control. Production control is the brain of the factory. Its main function is to coordinate each department.
If any of Yupa's factories run out of parts, Mr. He's job is on the line.
The production line cannot wait. We have to guarantee that our production is smooth. Running out of materials would affect our efficiency, affect our productivity, and affect our revenue. so I have to fix this in the shortest time possible.
Today, a problem at the iron factory needs smoothing out. Workers on the iron line are low on a crucial part. To keep up production, they need 2,000 units, and they need them now.
Just now I found out the main problems here at the iron department. One major problem is the case for model 603. They need 2,000 right now.
Traditional plants use outside suppliers for their components, not Yupa. To slash costs and stay competitive, Yupa builds its own parts on site. So Mr. Hu's supplier is only a bike ride away. But even the supplier is dangerously low on stock. Mr. He has found barely enough parts to last the day. When he gets another urgent call. Now the grill factory is low on a crucial component. Grills are the company's most profitable products. Yupa started producing one line of grills in 1994. Now, 60 assembly lines churn out 800 different models. Workers make one grill every 12 seconds. That's 50,000 grills per day, or 1.5 million per month. Enough grills for every person in Dallas. Grills bring in $350 million a year, but Yupa wants more. Little wonder Lu Jinye acts like a general leading his troops to war. By next year, managers expect workers to crank out $500 million worth of grills. Yupa's profits have to rise to outmuscle the competition. Mr. Ye supervises 850 workers on 30 lines.
We have to coordinate all these workers and pull all their thoughts into one. It takes teamwork to accomplish our goals, to get the results we want.
Mr. Ye is obsessed with quality control. His aim? Boost output without compromising quality. In a factory this big, with a production run so massive, even the hyper-efficient Mr. Ye hits a roadblock.
This holder piece holds the grill plate. What we're seeing now is the assembly of this piece. The problem is the size. It's the wrong size.
They've run out of part number 2627. It attaches the core heating element to the frame. Without this simple component, assembly lines will shut down. Unless Mr. Ha finds a fresh supply. And soon.
If we don't get them the parts, 6 production lines will have to stop.
When every part is on hand, grills assemble like a simple puzzle. Wires are linked to the heating element, and the element is fixed to the plate.
When it's not locked down properly, it will fall off. If it falls off, it will burn the hands of our customers and consumers. This job is very important.
Then it's time to connect the power cord.
The brown wire is live and the green wire is neutral. The one with the writing on it matches the brown wire. Connect them and that makes the wire live.
Each grill is inspected for flaws in construction or appearance. Finally, every grill is tested to make sure everything is in working order. On a typical day, Mr. Ye's team must make 700 of Yupa's 50,000 grills. Missing parts cause delays, cost Yupa a fortune, and force workers into overtime to meet their quota. Finding the missing parts falls to Mr. Ha, and the pressure is on.
那这样对吧？那个我先提议再先回去，然后那边先紧急生产，好，然后等下你就赶快送过去，好不好？OK，好，谢谢。
Mr. Ha finally arrives, and he has good news.
小叶，小六。
He's found 2,000 parts to keep the lines moving, and 50,000 more are on the way. Mr. He's day has ended on a high note. He heads home to a company-subsidized department only minutes away.
Mom,
his wife, Hong Zhang-yu, also works for the plant. Together, they lead a life of relative luxury. Family life in China is a communal affair. His parents and his in-laws live here, thanks to Yupa. It's one more reason workers are fiercely loyal to their company.
Our products all have the Made in China tag. I hope our products can bring to consumers a sense of joy, a sense of it's worth it. This is my biggest wish.
Fulfilling that wish will come at a cost.
When I first arrived here, I didn't know anyone else, and we all have to live together. It was really tough in the beginning.
Yupa's next generation of workers must leave their families behind and devote their lives to the company. It's a place tourists never see. The new face of modern China. Competitive, hungry for profits, and ready to take on the world. Located near the city of Xiamen, the Yupa complex sprawls for 1.8 square kilometers, almost the size of Monaco.
We have about over 20 buildings here. You know, the largest building, you know, equal like 4 football fields. You can have 60 to 70 assembly line. Each assembly line can have 25 to 35 workers in the line.
25 years ago, there were no factories here, only farms. In the 1980s, the Chinese government decided capitalism wasn't so bad after all. The communist regime established so-called special economic zones, designated places for free markets and foreign investments. Yupa, a Taiwanese company, moved here in 1988. In a few short years, it became the largest manufacturer of irons, electric grills, and espresso makers in the world. Yupa is a city unto itself, with restaurants and convenience stores, soccer fields and basketball courts, and living quarters for everyone from students to families. Success made it big, and size keeps it successful. Mass production runs push down costs. Almost all parts are made on-site, keeping supply costs low and parts within easy reach.
Because we are in this location pretty much isolated, we don't have satellite suppliers around us to build, you know, parts for us. So we had to do it in-house, and we had to do it in a large scale.
Yupa's main advantage is a cheap and endless labor force, ready to work for a fraction of a Western wage. 16-year-old Mao Fen Guo left her family and came here in 2008. But Guo isn't just looking for work. She's here to escape poverty and make her mother proud. In China, many parents prefer sons to daughters.
My mother has only two daughters. She's always upset about that. And in order to not let her down, I must work harder and harder.
Guo is a worker in training. With about 1,000 other students, she attends Yupa's on-site trade school. To get here, she had to pass entry exams and pay Yupa tuition. Now she's enrolled in 3 years of study and hands-on training at the factory. If she does well, Guo hopes for a job at Yupa.
At the very beginning, I thought it was very hard. But now that I've gone through all this, it's easier. There's a lot to learn, but I'm still full of confidence.
Today, she and her classmates are learning everything they ever wanted to know and more about irons. To get a job, Guo must learn the ins and outs of every product line.
We're changing constantly. Last time, we were making grills. Then we changed to coffee makers, and now electric irons.
Workers on 27 production lines pump out an iron every 15 seconds, and as many as 60,000 irons a day. Production includes at least 10 separate brands for dozens of companies. With over 30 steps to assembly, iron making is intricate work. And there's no room for error. Assembly starts with a water spray unit, made up of springs, rubber, and washers. With training and practice, it snaps into the spout in seconds.
If it's not closed tight, it will leak or blow. Then it won't work properly.
Now the sprayer and spout are joined to the handle. The two parts of the water reservoir are placed in a heating machine. That melts the space between them and makes the reservoir watertight.
Welding is an important part of production. However, it will be easy as long as we follow our operational guidelines.
Next, the thermostat is attached to the base.
You need to make sure you're using the correct format before you insert the base. Using a wrong base can lead to fire. Wiring is also important. Where there is a wiring mistake, there's hidden trouble.
A plastic buffer is placed between the heating element and the handle to keep the handle and the user's hand from getting too hot. After that, the plug is welded to the back of the iron.
We're connecting the wire for the power supply. I can do about 4 to 5 pieces every minute and 300 pieces an hour.
Once the spray and steam buttons are attached, it's testing time. First, the steam and squirting functions. Second, the iron's electrical system. Faulty units are either repaired or removed. Finally, irons that pass inspection are packed up and shipped away. The team won't cut corners or settle for second best. Today, Guo and her classmates will put classroom theory into practice and work the iron mine. For a teenager from a small town, living and working in a giant factory can be overwhelming.
My life is not as hard as it was before. I'm getting used to this place now.
Work on the iron line goes better than expected. For Guo, juggling work and school isn't that difficult. The hard part is leaving family and living far from home.
I guess it's learning how to be independent. When I first arrived here, I didn't know anyone else, and we all have to live together. It was really tough in the beginning.
Like China, Guo is adapting to a new world of high technology and tough international competition. And like China itself, she's determined to succeed.
I don't see myself working on the production line forever, doing the same job. Maybe I'm a bit arrogant or too confident about myself, but I want a better future.
For some people, a better future keeps them married to their job. Workers at UPA are married to the company. Based in southeast China, UPA is one of the biggest factories on the planet. Today and every day, its 17,000 workers are getting the world ready for breakfast. In the next 24 hours, it will produce 1,200 conventional coffee makers. Over the next 30 days, these assembly lines will deliver 210,000 cappuccino espresso machines. In the space of 1 year, nearly 2.5 million coffee makers will pour out of UPA and into the kitchens of the world. At the center of all this is Young Lee.
We already have 200 or 300 styles, and we develop and add over 40 new styles every year.
Lee's mandate is crucial and broad. Tackle any problem that could slow down non-stop production.
We have to make every effort to find these problems and to solve them. We have to make sure that every process is working perfectly. Manufacturing shouldn't be delayed because of these problems.
Today, he's got a brand new kind of problem. One of UPA's big clients has designed a new coffee maker. It's up to Lee to build a working prototype to entice the client into going ahead with mass production. Hundreds of UPA jobs and millions of dollars in potential business are now in Lee's hands.
Making prototypes is a large portion of my job and is vitally important to the development of the company.
Lee starts by assembling the heating system for the water and steam. Then he carefully places it into the main body. Just when Lee's ready to assemble it all, there are parts missing. The supplier is just a walk away, a long walk, but Lee doesn't mind the distance. Someone special is waiting for him at the supply depot. The person helping him today is his girlfriend. These perks make UPA more than a place of work. With a workforce of 17,000, many of them married with kids, this factory city turns office space into personal space.
Sometimes we work together. For example, if we need the help from the technician to solve production problems, then we meet each other afterwards.
Li Yang Li works in the parts supply department. She first came to UPA in 2004.
We fell in love at first sight. I always think it must be God who makes her work here and wait for me. Even now, I still think the same.
UPA management encourages these intimate connections. They believe couples that work together are more loyal to the company.
By working in the same company, we can go to work together and take care of each other. We can see each other more often. What's more, we can be with each other when we have a problem.
With the missing parts in hand, Lee is ready for wiring. Making it all fit into the chamber isn't easy.
I will have to organize all the electrical wires properly to make sure the coffee maker operates safely.
But the real test will come after shipping. If the client approves of Lee's model, UPA could get a massive order. If it doesn't, hundreds of jobs are on the line.
If I make the prototype in a sloppy way, our customers will lose confidence in the quality of our products, It will be a great loss to our company.
Weeks later, Lee's model is approved for mass production. And right away, he sets out to create a brand new production line. It takes a week to prepare the assembly line and train the workers to make the new coffee machine.
Okay, all right. I've written out my vision plan for 2023, and it's the same thing that we have. Only thing I didn't put on, I added one more thing on, which is part of it. We're going to be making daily Zoom calls. I spoke to one of the organizers of the, the Freedom Georgia Initiative. The Freedom Georgia, as a matter of fact, if you look it up online, the Freedom Georgia Initiative, and they're putting together a community called, it's a settlement right now. Freedom Georgia, two ladies that came up with the idea, you know, let you speak to 10 of your friends, I'll speak to 10 of mine. They came up with 19 families. They bought 97 acres. Now they're up to like 502 acres total. One of the nuggets that I learned from one of the founders, yesterday was Monday. They have Zoom calls every day. Zoom calls every day. So I included that in my vision. It's not a separate thing. It's just it's part of how I reach my daily goal of building five a day, five tiny houses a day. In addition to that, I just got off the phone with put it this way, I just made some social capital at a very important, I don't want to give it away, out in another state. I'll put it that way. Where I already purchased some land. So I've got at least three places that I personally control where we can actually do one a day in each one of those locations, but which is more than half of my goal of five a day. But I'm talking about hopefully, I'm going to get five a day any way I can. But anyway, I've reduced it down to writing. I have it online, so I'll be carrying around my thing daily and looking at it daily. Matter of fact, I'm going to write it out one more time, and I'm going to put it on my bathroom window. Not bathroom. Bathroom mirror, not window. Bathroom mirror, so I can see it at least two or three times a day. So that's the primary goal of today's podcast, live stream. Because I just got off this phone, so there is a mayor of a town that I've been trying to get to, but I've been close to it five or six times, but wasn't able to arrange for transportation to get there. So I'm about to call this mayor. It's a new mayor. And this is all going to be part of my mission for 2023, which we've already started. So what I'm suggesting you guys do, if you haven't done it already, and many people haven't, just write. Mine takes up about barely a half sheet of paper. It's the primary goal is just one sentence. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Well, four words. Let's see. 4 words. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 words and 1 figure. That's it. Now I've got some support items to make that happen, but that's it. And I got it spaced out with today's date, which is the start date for me officially. Actually, yesterday was the official start date, but I marked today. And it's in that scrolling marquee. So what we're going to do is just end it for today, because I need to call this mayor of this another. I got to catch up to this other mayor, because this is all part of my goal. So we'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a good rest of the day.